Our scripture reading today comes from John chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. This is the word of God. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Amen.
Father God, we are very grateful of your wonderful love for your people and for this community, the Kairos Christian Church, and Pastor Peter and Jessica, and all those who are in cooperation and working together to see your kingdom expand in this part of the world. We pray, Lord God, comfort and encourage and empower them, use them according to your purpose. Lord God, I pray your wonderful will be fulfilled in this place and through this ministry, Lord God. Many will be saved and healed and restored and given significance and vision and power to live a life that is abundant before you. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This morning in Southland, we talked about being a minimum qualification for normal Christian. And using the Acts chapter 1, we talked about there are three conditions. Number one, we need to have an encounter, significant interaction with the risen Christ. It's not a set of formula, but personal encounter, life-altering experience. Second is empowering of the Holy Spirit, that we don't live our Christian life according to our own effort or discipline or strong will, but we live by the Spirit and overwhelmed and influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit. And third is what I want to talk about tonight, and that is our life, the worldview and the value that's been sanctified and transformed, envisioned by the biblical values. What says in the scripture. I explained it this way. All of us coming from the secular world and education and the family backgrounds, we are operating in certain values. Let's say it's Apple operation, you know, OS. OS 9. Is it OS 9 now? Whatever it is. But you cannot run that on a PC. You can, right? Okay, it hasn't changed. They are developing so fast that sometimes I get confused, right? But you cannot run that in PC. And let's say it's a Christian value, the worldview, let me define it this way. Worldview is a lens through which you perceive and understand and explain the world around about you. This is how you understand and process the data, and that makes you reply and respond in such a way. Yeah. So this operating system has to be sanctified by the Word of God. You cannot live a Christian life, spiritual life, still operating in a secular worldview or value system. And that is a problem. And that's why so many people miss out the promise of God or the abundant life that God has promised, because they are approaching that in their spiritual confession in a biblical way, they're using the biblical lingo. At the same time, they're operating their life out of secular system. So what it becomes is my confession becomes magical formula of witchcraft. It's not backed up by my life. There's no coherence, consistency. And because of that, in one way we say we believe this and all that, and yet our responses and reactions and the way we understand the world is totally secular and rationalistic. And that's why we are missing the ball. We are using the same vocabulary, but there is no joint. There's a missing. And that's the problem that we see. So, one of the things that I really like to see in our Christian life that will yield fruit is that paradigm shift. Paradigm shift means there's a significant, let me define this. Paradigm shift is a profound and thorough change in the way we perceive, decide, and behave in our lives. So worldview, the lens has to be changed by biblical value system, biblical stories. And this, according to this story, we live our life in this story. And that's what makes our life fruitful and abundant before the Lord. Now, so paradigm shift have to happen is life is not all about being safe. And I have something to tell you. The life is not even all about you. Your life is not all about you. Isn't there a news? You'll be surprised to find out. See, if I were to, I heard this in some charismatic church. It says, you know, sometimes this charismatic pastor is tempted to do offering this way. You know, everybody pull out your wallet, put it up in the air, and then give it to next person. So you give to next person, you get next person's wallet, right? And then give as generously as possible. It's not your money, you know, you give it all. See, if you live a life like that, as if your life doesn't belong to you, but as generously, as lovingly, as forgivingly, according to Scripture. See, if you can detach the ownership you think you have over your body, over your possession, over your reputation, over the relationships that you have, and as generously you give, wouldn't that be crazy life? And that's exactly what the Bible is talking about. That's the thing. And one of the crazy paradigm shift is the baby. Can you imagine yourself as being a baby, and through the baby's eyes, you perceive the world, and you're sucking on this milk bottle. And that's all you see. And then you realize, hey, this milk bottle is held by somebody. And this guy is keep on smiling at me. And we call this dad. Oh, he's nice to me. And then you soon realize later on, he has a feeling too. And you can actually control this guy. You know, like merely passing gas, he will laugh his head off. You know, I mean, there is that, he begin to realize and get to know his, you know, surrounding and interact with it. And pretty much after about junior high school, kids realize, hey, others have feeling too. And then somewhere along the line, oh, people want to be treated just like you want to be treated yourself. And then you grow a little longer and older and all that, and you realize there are many variables in the world that you absolutely do not have any control. But you worry about them all the time. And worrying about it will not help. You need some help from outside. You realize you need a savior. Sometimes the greatest enemy that you find in life is yourself. Well, who's going to save you from yourself? Yes, from somebody else. And then we invite Jesus to come into our life. And then Jesus says to us, you did not choose me. I chose you. Then that is a paradigm shift. Now, and until you get there, your Christian life is extension of your selfishness. Like a little baby. Hey, this milk bottle, who's holding this thing anyway? And you're not much better than that. Your vision hasn't gained that much sight. Until you come to a point that Jesus chose me, Not that I have chosen Jesus. That is the beginning of an exciting adventure in Christian life. Many Christians don't get to that point. That's why their life is so frustrating. Because they think it's up to them. It's all about them. So, the freeing paradigm shift in Christian life is, it is a profound realization that it is not my future welfare, healing, or any other needs of mine that is at the center of my relationship with God, but His will and His glory. In other words, my life is not about me. It's about Him who has chosen me before I realized that I was chosen. That's so freeing. See, many of us are Asians, and Asians have common sickness. And we live more than half of our lives trying to please somebody else's expectation. And these expectations are almost impossible to fulfill. Because only college that is acceptable in the sight of Asian parents is Harvard. Everything else is failure. You have only four career choices. It's a medical doctor or law or maybe CPA or engineer if he feels really generous. If you're an English major, oh my gosh, what are you doing? You know, dance major, art? Give me a break. You know? So most of us live our life feeling like we haven't got there. We felt like we fell short. And we're trying to please other people. And we spend most of our energy doing this. And even when we come into the church, we recognize we need a Savior. And even after we become the follower of Christ, we're trying to please God, become acceptable to Him by performing. We dance as fast as we can to be noticed by God. How ridiculous is that? We do that. That's why so many believers don't have rest in their hearts. They're so busy. But this really sets us free. It's not about us. It's not even about our performances. And Jesus said, and let me just put it again, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I want you to notice something. And Jesus chose us. And His choosing is connected with commissioning. So a lot of us, we think, when we are called by God and, you know, and we are, let me use the term, saved. When we are saved, then we can pretty much go and do whatever we please. Or we can, you know, ask God for, you know, bigger things or better things. And just go ahead and conduct myself according to all operating system. It's still okay. But that's not what it says here. I have chosen you for a purpose. And this purpose is to go bear fruit, not just any kind of fruit, but lasting fruit. From the perspective of eternity, from the perspective of a kingdom, something that matters, not just here and now, but life to come and eternity to come. Is that possible? He says, you ask of me, I'll give you power to do so. So it's not, once again, it's not about me. Is joining something much bigger than me. Is doing something much beyond providing for my family and here and now. I'm not saying that's not important. That is important. But you are called for something greater, much greater, much more powerful, much more significant, much more satisfying than that in your life. And that is a powerful thing. And here, so let me say this. It is not as important what you decide or decided or plan to do as what God has called you to be. And that is the important thing. And until we find this out and start aligning our lives to that, you are not going to experience the freedom and power and contentment and significance that God has planned for your life. And that is the thing. As long as you use God to get to the place that you want to get to, according to the old operating system, you are not going to experience this freedom and power and contentment. But once you recognize it's not about you and your dreams and your needs, but it's about God's purpose, God's will, and align your life, not perfectly, none of us can do that, but we are generally facing the right direction. You know, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back maybe, but still we are generally facing the right direction and pursuing that tenaciously, then incredible freedom, and God will run after us and meet us and empower us. It says, Proverbs 69, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I want you to know this follows right after, for by grace we've been saved by faith. It is not of our works that no one can boast. Right? And then he says, your salvation has end in mind. That is, you are an incredible workmanship of God, crafted specially, tailored for exact purpose. And he has already planned out the good works that you should walk in them. You are invited, I'm invited to his plan and purpose. And when we realize it's not about us, but it's his plan, his provision, his providence, his peace, his power, his glory, it's about that, then it's a different game. You play a different game, and you cannot lose that game. Now, it says this, Galatians chapter 2, 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I live in the body, I live by the faith in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's not your life. And this is the paradigm shift. And many people, many believers, even in church, after a beautiful confession, because they haven't changed their operating system, they're still living in this and trying to fit God's glorious message and his incredible sacrifice into our poorly planned and short-sighted desire. And because of that, there is always discrepancies and struggles and things break. But here, you know, I've been privileged to travel around the world the last 25 years. And I've seen the beginning of Chinese, freedom, you know, and then the former Soviet Union falling. And I see these 15 republics just coming out, independent countries. And so it's not early 1990 and 91 and 92 and all the way to 2000, and I recently just focus on China and Vietnam and those areas. But and when you see all this, it's a beautiful works of God. And these, whenever the country opens up, the missionaries go in, as you know. And Uzbekistan, I met these two beautiful widows. And in fact, the first older widow, and I knew her and her husband. And when that opened up, they went in. I don't know. It's Uzbekistan. I think it's 1989 or something. Went in, and he was diagnosed as a second stage stomach cancer. And he promised to God, you know, God, if I experience remission or something, that I want to go to mission field and I want to die there. And I want to spend my life in that way. So he went, and they gave him, and then it quickly progressed that he was like almost a final stage in stomach cancer. But he insisted going there, even if he has to die over there. So they gave him like 6 months, but he went there and he lived like 5 years. And he did incredible ministry and all that. And because he knew he was going to die, his wife is always, you know, supporting him, but like, why do we have to die out here, you know, kind of thing. And when he died, finally paradigm shift happened. I wasn't just supporting my husband. God called me here separately. I was meant to be here. So everybody expected her to come back. And she said, no, I'm called to be here. I'm called to spend the rest of my life serving these folks. Now, so she stayed, and second set of missionaries went in that same place. And this is younger folks in their mid-30s and all that. After a few years traveling, I met them too. In fact, I met the husband a few days before he died. And I was in Kazakhstan and doing some ministry there. I talked to him and ministered to him. I came, and he was driving back to Uzbekistan, and in the snow, the car flipped, and they died. And the widow, the young widow, and they expected her to return. And they're from Korea. And they thought she was going to go back to Korea. And she too realized it wasn't her husband she was supporting, but she was called. It was her that got called. These tragedies brought about this incredible paradigm shift. And these two beautiful ladies, two generations of ladies, and just serving the Lord in that harsh place. He said, at the beginning, Uzbekistan really opened its arms to Christianity and whatever U.S. But in the midway, it became very fundamental Islamic, and they pushed out all the churches and closed down, and persecution began in a really, really harsh way. But they stuck, and they served the Lord. I have another story. My cousin served as a missionary in St. Petersburg. And some accident, he flew in, he brought in, and he got healed, you know, get restored here, and he wanted to go back. So they went back, and they served the Lord and finished the term, and he died in there, cancer, lung cancer. And everybody expected my cousin's wife to come back home. The denomination actually demanded her to come home. She also realized that it wasn't her husband. She had her distinctive call. So she stayed. And in fact, she went to Kazakhstan in the countryside, and she's doing ministry. She was here last year. 70th birthday, we celebrated, and you say, it's about time you got to retire. And she said, forget retiring, I'm going back. And it was a few weeks before Christmas. She just went back. And what I'm saying to you is this. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to do this and that and that. But there's an incredible change in the lens through which that we understand the world, that we relate to the world around about us. That has to change. If that doesn't take place, we cannot serve the Lord. We cannot experience what the scripture is talking about. What we do matters, and it has eternal consequences. And so Let me just read that. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I want you to pay attention to this. God has set eternity in our hearts. It's not for here and now. It's not about fine points about theology. It's not about this and that. But it's about eternity. And God has set this. And therefore, the flip side of it is, if we do not live our life, and if our life's goal and desire doesn't have a trajectory of eternity, you cannot experience happiness. You cannot experience significance in life. You know, but living in such a way is not that easy. I want you to know. There are some trials and challenges. It's not all rosy. So because of that, I want to just say one word and finish. Because Pastor Peter talked about food, I know some of you are already thinking about those things. All right. This is John Wesley said this. Give me 100 men who fear nothing but God, hate nothing but sin, and are determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and I will set the world on fire with them. And indeed he did. Wesleyan movement, holiness movement, Methodist movement, and all this from 18th century. Impact the world. You know, Teddy Roosevelt was quite a hunter. And he frequently went over to Africa and had a game hunting. And one time he went and came back on a ship, in the cruise ship. And the bottom of that ship, if you are rich and can afford the good rooms, you are on top, and it goes down, 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 and in the bottom, those people who cannot afford rooms, was a missionary couple who are retiring from lifelong service in Africa. So when the ship docked at the harbor and about to disembark, it wasn't their turn, but this man, missionary, he couldn't wait. So he kind of came out and went to the top of the deck, and he looked down. He wanted to see who came to welcome them back after a lifetime of service. And there was a big band out there playing this incredible music. And all these things were going on. I said, wow, are they for us? And he realized there was a Teddy Roosevelt just came back from hunting trip. And, people are welcoming back. And he got really bitter in his soul. And I risked my life, disease, poverty, and all this, and to serve my God all my life. Now I'm coming back home. And this guy went to kill some animals and came back. And practically the whole nation is out there welcoming him. And he couldn't find his friends or nobody from his mission agency. So he came down and really, really depressed. And his wife asked him, what happened? You're so happy to come back home. And you're all depressed and bent out of shape. What's going on? So he explained to his wife, life is not fair. We gave our life serving the Lord. And serving, these beloved Africans. And we come home, and nobody welcomes us. Nobody will recognize what we have done. And this guy goes and shoots some animal, and the whole country is uproar. Life is not fair. We came home to nobody. And his wife, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said this, missionary, you have not come home yet. This isn't your home. So sometimes we think this is our home. This is where we play our game. And this is where the score is going to be kept. Score is not kept here. Score kept here means nothing to God. When we stand before Jesus, score with the scorecard that we have here means nothing. Our home is not here. We haven't got home yet. and Kairos, you haven't arrived. This is only the beginning. And I pray your beautiful paints will wear out. Your beautiful rugs will wear out. Your seat will wear out. Because so many people come and occupy this place 24/7. People are saved and healed and restored and transformed. So you have to just find a better place. That's my prayer. That you, having a place doesn't mean a thing. Use that place to the max and bear a fruit that lasts. Amen? Why don't we pray together? Father, we come before you. And Lord God, the scripture says, God chooses weak things of the world to shame the strong, foolish things of the world to baffle the wise. And Father God, surely you have chosen us, not because of our qualifications, but because of your love and wisdom. And Father God, we pray that we may run this race with such gratitude, such indebtedness, that your grace may not become vain in our lives. But Father God, that we may run the race, as Paul has said, I may labor harder than anybody else, so that your grace may not be in vain. And Father God, we pray as Kairos celebrates this wonderful Sunday of dedicating this place, I pray, Lord God, many, many, many more victories, salvations and healings and restorations, powerful ministries will begin to happen in this place. Use this place, Lord God, to bring down your glory and touch this part of the world. Use Pastor Peter and Jessica and all the church members to do your works, Lord God, that we may be so satisfied in you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.